you, ladies. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 18, if you would. Exodus chapter 18 is where we're at this morning. Exodus chapter 18. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter this morning. I know you're thinking it's going to be a marathon. Just a couple thoughts, two thoughts that I want to take out of the chapter, though. Just two simple thoughts. If I were to tell you, of course, the message is entitled Giving and Taking this morning, you will get in your mindset an idea of giving and taking. You'll think, okay, in one sense, you'll think very positive. Giving, is giving a good thing to do? Of course it is. Giving, we need to be givers, right? But we tend to look at taking as something negative, right? As opposed to being a giver, you're a taker. Some people are just takers. They always want to be blessed, but you're never going to do anything for anybody else, okay? That's not the type of giving and taking that we're talking about today. Maybe giving, but certainly not the taking. So this morning I want to look at this, a little bit of an idea, different idea of giving and taking in light of this passage. So what I want to do is I want to, all these verses I want to look at, what is there, about 27 verses here in this chapter. We're going to look at these. I'm going to go ahead and read them. I'm going to try to do that quickly. And then I want to give you 2 points, giving and taking, that we've read here. And as you go through this, I want you to analyze and or let the Lord search your heart to see if you are a giver or a taker and a taker this morning. Okay, so let's jump in. We've just concluded this battle that the people had, remember, and they came and held up Moses' arms and the banner, Jehovah Nissi, was there for the people to look at, and they won. And so we looked at that last Sunday, and now on the heels of that, we go on to chapter 18. So follow along with me in Exodus chapter 18. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her 2 sons, of which the name of the one, was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her 2 sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them by the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter that shall bring unto thee, they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. All right. So something that is given, we're talking about giving and taking, something that is given to somebody else is it's being shared, something that is given, something that I have in possession that I'm going to give to somebody else. And it would be for the benefit of that person that would get it. They would gain something. If I give you something, then you gain from what I give you, because I have taken what I have out from what I have and I've given it to you. So there's a benefit for the other person. So something that you have, you're allowing someone else to have as well. So what was it in this passage that was shared or given? What did Moses have that he gave to Jethro, his father-in-law, so that his father-in-law would benefit from? Well, let's look back at the beginning of the chapter. Go back to the very beginning, and I want you to see something. This is the way God works with our ability to give to other people. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 1. Look back at Exodus chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel's people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. And we're going to stop there. Now, what does this tell us about Jethro's most recent background? What had he heard? What had he received? He somehow had heard of Israel's victory. He had somehow heard of how God had done some amazing things. It said he had heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel's people, and the Lord had brought him out of Egypt. So I don't know how Jethro heard. I don't know how he received it. Now, here's what I want you to see. We'll come back to this thought in just a moment. Here's what I want you to see first. There is a God-given awareness of God's presence and goodness in every person. Now, I'm not suggesting that God just placed this into Jethro, this knowledge of God and his goodness. Most likely, Jethro had heard, were there some soldiers out there from his camp? He's the priest of Midian. Had they observed and run back to camp and told him? I don't know. Did it come through traveling people? Did you guys hear about what happened in Egypt and how the Israelites were released from Pharaoh and how there were 10 plagues and how they crossed the sea and how, I don't know how they got it, but somehow they received it that way. And I am going to suggest to you that it was some natural way that Jethro had heard. Probably people passing it on to other people. And through the grapevine, he heard the story about how God had done this. But can I say, you see, Jethro had been, God had prepared Jethro to receive truth this day. He had been given some information about God, And Moses is going to come along and give more truth. I'm kind of giving you a sneak into where we're going with this. Okay, what had been given? God's truth. But God prepares hearts for people to receive that truth. Do you know when we go to people, God has already prepared them for the truth that they're going to receive? And more so, God has placed inside every person on the face of the earth, past, present, and future, an innate knowledge of himself. They don't know everything about God. They don't know every truth about God. They don't know what the scriptures say. But inside of man, God has placed himself in them so that they can know and learn more of him. So there's this, the existence of God. There's an argument. It's called the ontological argument for God's existence. And he's placed that inside every man. He places himself as a knowledge. Every person born comes with an inside knowledge of an existence of God. God places a knowledge inside every single person. You say, well, those people don't know anything. Well, they might not know what the Word of God says, but they know something. There's something that God places inside of every human being, that there is a knowledge and search for a God. There is a higher being. That's why everywhere you go, in every religion, you'll find some sort of a higher being. You say, well, what about atheism, which takes God out of it? They are in search of that, and they claim, their basic argument is that they are God. They are. They wouldn't say that necessarily, but they are ruling themselves as I can free to make my own choices. I am my own self, and therefore they are a God. Every single person has some sort of a knowledge to find God. You know, some heathen places, you know, they will make a rock or a piece of wood or whatever into whatever they can. Why? Because there's something that God has placed, a knowledge of something. God places that inside of people. There's also a desire for, you know, that people desire to worship something. That's the way we're made. We desired, there's got to be something that we worship, and we all go that direction. We worship, even if it's worshiping ourselves or worshiping an event or a thing or money. We all desire to bow to something. So there's a knowledge of, there's a desire for, and just a simple reality of God himself. Now, again, I'm not sure how Jethro had heard all that God had done for Moses and what he says there in that verse. And again, I'm not suggesting that this was just something that God had placed inside Jethro, like I just described. Again, likely he had heard through people. The point is that he had a bit of background of God in him. He had something, a seed that God had planted inside of him, and again, through word of mouth, inside of him to prepare him. Folks, can I tell you this? That the people around you in our world have been placed inside of them a seed of knowledge, desire, and reality of God. Every human being on the face of the earth has this inner awareness of a God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, you know that passage that speaks about the people that knew God and yet put him away, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In every person, God has shown himself. There is a God. And by the way, if we seek him, we shall find him. If we search with all our heart. Do you know that there's hope for every single person on the face of the earth? You say, but Pastor, what if a missionary never goes there? Guess what? There's still hope. Because God says if a person desires to, God places an inner knowledge of and a desire for it. You know, again, might not have the Bible. Is it important that people get the Bible so they can read about Christ? What's the answer? Yes, they need God's word. They need to hear. We know in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for it is the power of God unto salvation. They need it. They cannot get saved by just some, I know that there's a God out there. They need to hear the story of Jesus and how he went to the cross and how he shed his blood and he died for them. And then 3 days later, he rose again, declaring victory over death, declaring victory over sin, declaring victory over the devil, and giving us eternal life. They need to hear that to get saved. But my friend, I'll tell you, every person that's born on the face of the earth has an inner knowledge of that there's a God somewhere out there. And God will not withhold himself from that person that wants to find out. The only way that a person will go to hell is because they reject Jesus Christ. They will not have him. And they say no, and they will go to hell. We, on a side note, we are missionaries. Why? Why do we share the gospel? Somebody tell me why. So that the world can get saved? No. It's for the honor and glory of God and for his and for our obedience to him. That's why you do it. Do they need to hear the gospel? They do. But my friend, I'll tell you something. God will see that they get saved if they are searching for him. I believe that with all of my heart. They can be saved if they will search for him. If they don't be saved, it's because they have rejected him. They've rejected God. And so inside of every man is this knowledge. Again, in Romans 1:19, we read, they knew God. God had shown himself unto them. And yet in their knowledge, they put him away. And of course, we see in Romans chapter 1 that they set aside what they knew and they turned to the creation more than the creator. And they followed their own lusts and desires that you study this morning in James chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, so God created man in what? His own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. In every male and in every female, God created his image inside them. God has placed his image in a person. We have a knowledge of God. We are created in his image. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Here we see this inner placement of God's person inside of people. Now, let's get very practical with this. God has also done this with all the people around you in your life. A little seed that he's placed inside of them. Now, I don't know about you, but that is good news. If you're like me, I don't like going up to a door and knocking and it kind of, what I want to call cold turkey evangelism. I don't like it. It's like, okay, these people have no background. They don't know what I'm talking about. Can I say, this is good news. Can I say that there's no such thing as cold turkey evangelism? Because God has done his work in that person that they have a knowledge. Again, it might be very little. But God has placed in them his image. He's placed a knowledge of and a desire for. Every person that is out there, no matter how far you go, every single person is inside desiring, thinking, wondering about God. Now, some people have suppressed that very much. And they have calloused their hearts to who God is. But inside every person, God has placed his image, he's placed desire, and he's placed knowledge. Every single person, there is a seed. And some have taken that tiny little seed and cut it in half and in half and in half so that it's very little. But my friend, there is a seed. There is a seed. You know, that cold-hearted coworker that some of you have, that you say, they're the most ungodly, they're the most anti-God, Bible, whatever that they are, and I work with them, they have no heart for anything that's right. My friend, listen, God has placed himself inside of them. And I'm not talking about for salvation and dwelling and living, but the knowledge of, the desire for, and the reality of, he's placed that inside them. And that gives great hope. Now, in this case, we see that God had given himself to Jethro through just word of mouth. A seed had been planted. But can I say, there have been seeds all over the universe inside of people to be ready to receive truth. And that's a tremendous opportunity. When I go up to that door, or I go up to that person, I say, you know, they have anything. There is something there, and they are thinking. There's some knowledge of, there's some reality, there's some desire for. Again, they might love themselves more than that, and they might suppress it. They might not know enough to where they think that their life lived their way is going to be better than God's way. But there is a seed. There's a seed there. For Jethro, there was a seed there. He had heard something of God. Now, I know you, and you read this passage, this 27 verses you read, and it sounds like Jethro is a biblical, a good godly kind of a guy, because he refers to God. But my friend, I want to tell you something. He was a priest of Midian, and Midian wasn't a follower of Jehovah. He had his own ways, and he was a priest, so he was a religious person in other ways. And here we see something that happened in Jethro's life. Now, I'm not going to submit to you that Jethro received Christ. I'm not going to submit to you that, like Abraham with, I want to say, apart from Christ. Of course, it was looking ahead at Christ's finished work. But how did Abraham got saved? By, he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, right? He believed God. He believed God's way and what God was going to do. Did he have a knowledge of everything? No, but he believed God, and it was counted for him as righteousness. Just a knowledge of God is not that belief, is not that faith. Jethro had heard, and Jethro cares about spiritual things here, and I don't know when it was for Jethro, when it was counted for him as righteousness. I don't know. But I know one thing, there's a progression here. When Jethro had been given a seed about what had happened, something was inside, and the people around you have a seed. Some have rejected it, some have suppressed it, but there is a seed out there. God had already placed his mark on Jethro to get the seed planted, and then Moses comes along and waters it. He waters it, and it worked. I mean, again, we don't know that Jethro got saved the way we talk about it, but I want you to look at verses 9, 10, and 11. Look down and see. Okay, he had heard of what had happened. He had heard of this. Well, before we look at that, look at verse 8. Go back to verse 8. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh. Now again, Jethro had been planted a seed, right? He had been planted a seed. Now Moses tells his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them, by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Okay, so Jethro has the seed inside of him already. Now for him, he heard through somebody of how they had been delivered from Egypt. But he had this inside of him, a little bit of background. We're calling it a seed. Okay, he had that seed inside of him. And then he comes to visit his son-in-law, Moses, and Moses comes and brings him into the tent, and Moses sits down with him. And I'm not suggesting that Moses was evangelizing, but he sits down with his father-in-law, and he says this. Now catch this. He says, let me tell you. Let me sit down here and share with you, maybe over some food. Let me share with you what God has done for me. Let me share with you what God has done for us. Jethro is a priest of Midian. He is not an Israelite. He is saying, let me share with you what God has done for us. And Moses sits down and he says, he goes back to Egypt and he says, oh, there was this and God told me this. And he tells the story. He rehearses the story that had happened in his life. He's simply sharing what had happened for him, what had happened for them. He's not sitting down talking theology. He's not sitting down talking about this is who God is and this is how he created the universe. No, he's simply sharing, this is what God has done for me. This is what God has done for us. Let me sit down, Jethro, and share with you what God has done for us. And Jethro sits there and listens, and there's no doubt that he's listening. He's saying, really? No, say that again. He did what? You know what? I heard something about that. How did that happen? You know, and the priest stepped on dry ground. The people went through the Red Sea, and it was dry ground, and you made it to the other side. And he's telling them all this story. And then we get to verse 9. And you can imagine Jethro's, you know, he's sitting here listening to this stuff. He had a seed already planted, but he hears it. He hears more. He hears the detail. He hears the truth. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord, that's Jehovah, had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, so here's the result of this testifying of what God had done in Moses' life. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Do you see what he's testifying here? Now again, I'm not suggesting that Jethro believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness or for righteousness. I don't know that. The Bible is not teaching us here that he got saved. But I know one thing. Did you catch it? He recognized that God was God. He says, now I know. What does that imply? He did not before. He did not know that God was God. Jehovah was God. There were questions in his mind about this false God and about this false God and about that false God. There were other opportunities of gods in his life. And he says, now I know that God is above. And how did he get that? First, understand that God has placed inside seeds in everyone to prepare them for hearing truth. And what does God use? Not need. What does God use? He uses more watering on the seeds to come by and reiterate again. Let me tell you what God has done for me. And when that person heard what God had done for Moses and all of Israel, that prepared and brought Jethro to understand God, Jehovah, is God. Now let's get really practical. Everybody around you in your workplace, your relatives, your neighbors, God has already placed seeds inside. You say, my neighbor, my coworker, heathen. But there's a seed. Image, desire, knowledge of. There's a seed. You know what? You've got to have a seed, right, to grow something? You've got to have a seed. You've got to have a seed. God has placed a seed inside every single person. So you see, you don't have to worry about going and up to talk to that person and it's like, listen, this is so foreign to them. Now, it might be foreign, but there's a seed already there. But seeds need what? Why do we blame the world so much for who they are and what they are? I want to tell you, folks, it's not so much their fault. It's our fault many times because they're waiting for some water. And we get all scared about what that water is. I don't know that I can give them the gospel. Folks, one of the most basic things that Moses does here is just tell them what God had done for them. Him. And you never know what that watering might do to a seed. Because in the right place, at the right time, it might be exactly what that seed needs to sprout. And in this case, Jethro was ready to sprout. He was a seed that needed to be watered. He had been dry in the wilderness, and Moses comes along, adds a little water, and that seed sprouts. And now he makes a statement, now I know! Jethro had been in the wilderness for a long time without the knowledge of really who God was. And now Moses comes along and simply tells him what God had done for him and all of Israel. And Jethro says, now I know that God is God. Giving and taking. The application for the first giving this morning is simply, are you giving truth to people of what God has done for you? Are you? When was the last time you shared with someone what God had done for you and how He has delivered you from Egypt? Your simple testimony might be that thing that that coworker or that neighbor needs to say, wow. And they don't even really realize it, but that seed, that dry seed in there is now watered, is ready to sprout. That they would hear what God has done for you. Are you giving to the people around you that truth? And Discovery Bible Study, that's one of the prominent things with it. Are you sharing what God is teaching you? You say, why would my coworker be interested at all in what I learned in church on Sunday? Why would they be interested to hear about what I read in my devotions this morning? Why would they? I'll tell you why. Because there's a seed inside of them that is waiting to sprout. It's been placed there by God Himself. It's there. That seed is there. It doesn't matter who it is. That seed is there, and it's waiting for somebody to water it, to hear about what God does. You never know what God is going to do. Now, it might not be the right time, but I'll tell you what. That water is going to be there to cultivate. It's going to be more. It's going to be in the process of getting ready. You might not see the sprout yet. That germination time, it takes time. It takes sometimes multiple waterings. But they don't know it, but they're waiting to hear it. But many times we're not givers. We want God to do all of this delivering from Egypt. We want God to give us manna. We want God to give us quail. We want God to do all these things for us. And are you thankful for all that God does for you? But God never, ever, ever meant for us to be givers or to be takers and not givers. Has God done something for you? Has God done much for you? Has He? There are seeds out there that are waiting to receive that. It's water. It's water. And it was exactly what Jethro needed that day. Who out there in your life do you need to give to? Who's waiting to hear truth? Secondly, takers. Now we look at that and say, well, that's a negative thing. Takers. You know, we're takers. Really has not a lot to do with the first part of giving. But it's very interesting because Moses here is telling Jethro about this. He's kind of the authority here. I mean, he's telling him about how God has done for him. He's the spiritual leader. And now this Midian, priest of Midian, in this story, and we don't have time because we're all out of time, but you know what the story is. And you're more familiar with this part of the story. Now Jethro, he's received what Moses has given him. And now this priest of Midian looks at what Moses is doing and he says, Moses, what are you doing here? You know, you're sitting here all day long. And honestly, he doesn't have such a great awareness of Jehovah. He's not a believer. Maybe he is. We don't know if that was his salvation. I don't know. But we know that he's certainly not a spiritual leader in Moses' life. He is a father-in-law, which has its biblical place. But this person of no spiritual authority, really, comes along and says, Moses, what you're doing here isn't going to work. And in fact, you're going to you're going to faint really quickly here. You cannot afford to sit here all day and listen to all these things. And so what does he do? He says, you need to divide, you need to put rulers over this, 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 and this. They come through them, and hey, on the really big things come to you. That's going to preserve. And by the way, that's a lot of simple logic in thinking through. This is a very human thoughts on how to organize and to capitalize on and be, you know, productive in your work. It's not a lot of spiritual insight. He doesn't tell him, you know, God, you know, is a God of, no, it's none of this. He said, listen, this would work very much if you would do this, this, and this. And so he gives this. Now, Moses could do what? Who are you? I know you're my father-in-law, and I'm probably supposed to, you know, obey you, even though he doesn't have the law yet. Think about it. Moses doesn't have the law yet. He's just God. No scripture. But there's an element of the father-in-law there, and we know, because we do have scripture, that is an important thing, a place of honor. And by the way, we should consult our parents. Even, you know, the Bible talks about obedience to parents, and the Bible talks about honoring. Obedience is when you're underneath, and when you're in their home, you've got to obey. And that's a biblical mandate for children, obey. At a certain point in time, when you're out, you're adult, that it transfers from obedience to honor. You don't have to obey anymore, but you need to be willing to listen and weigh heavy what they say. That's honor. Weigh heavy in your life and in your thoughts what they're saying, to truly listen and contemplate what they're saying. Honor. Now, Jethro, father-in-law, says, Moses, here's what you ought to do. Moses could have easily looked at that and rejected it. No, God has made me the leader. God has made me this. I've got to be the one. I don't trust these people. They're bad. They can't do anything. They've never been trained. They don't know how to do it. But Moses takes the advice. That's humility. Folks, are you willing to take from other people? Do you know that there's something to learn from other people? And we need to be careful with the heathen. We need to be careful taking ungodly advice. We always test it. What they're given to us with what? God's word, scripture. Again, you might have a boss at work that tells you something, and we're not preaching here that you need to just obey that if it goes contrary to scripture. But what we're saying here is, on a very human level, folks, there are things that you can learn from other people. You're not everything. And some of us are so proud that we're not willing to take from anybody else. We're the authority on everything else. It was a good thing that Moses gave to Jethro, his father-in-law, truth. But he was willing to take good, practical, human advice in this situation that saved Moses many headaches. The first question is, are you a giver? The second question that we see in this chapter is, are you willing to take from other people? Or are you one of these self-made individuals that you are the authority over everyone else and no one can tell you or give you any advice? Folks, there's some good lessons that we need to learn from this chapter. Are you a giver of truth? Are you a taker of advice? It is not a good characteristic as a human, let alone a believer, to not be a person that can receive truth. You ever met somebody that you tried to give truth and they are too high to hear? They're too smart. They've done it all. They're too expert in this, too expert that. You can't tell them anything. That's not the way God wants us to be. God wants us to take. You know, I think of the greatest example of a giver and a taker in this light, and I think of the person of Jesus Christ. Everywhere Jesus went, he gave truth. And if you're like me, you're sitting there and saying, I want to hear what he has to say about being a taker. Who told Jesus what to do? Well, I'm going to suggest to you again, we go back down to the human life. What did Jesus do for 30 years? What did he do? We know just a little bit, huh? Well, he did the will of his Father on a very human level. What did he do? He was the son of a carpenter, right? Now, let's not take the humanity of Jesus away. Here's a trick question. It's a trick question. Let's go to the wood shop, the carpenter. Did Jesus just grow up at 4 and know how to use the saw and to know how to miter the two joints together? You know what the answer is? No. Now, to some of you, you're like, what? He's God. He knows everything. You see, that's part of the incarnation of Jesus coming to be, God coming to be a man. He put himself in human body, and when he came, he needed to learn from his dad. No, son, you need to round that corner, and this is how you do it. Did Jesus need to learn? Yes, he did. And I submit to you, for 30 years, he submitted to human authority to listen how to be that carpenter that he needed to be. He demonstrated it in his life. And my friend, I want to tell you something. We need to follow in Jesus' steps and submit ourselves unto people and let them teach us things. Don't be a person that knows everything. Learn from other people. Take it. Just recently, I was with somebody, and they were saying something, and I thought to myself, he's wrong. Guess what? I found out later that I was wrong. And it was a lesson. It was a lesson for me that says, Sean, you think that you know. We all think that we know. But guess what? Many times we are wrong. And it would be good for us to learn from other people. The question for this morning from Exodus chapter 18. Two questions in Moses' life. He was a giver. He gave truth. God had planted the seed. Moses came along and watered. God gave increase. Moses was a taker as well, not in the negative way, in a good way. He took and received truth from a father-in-law that was a priest of Midian, and it benefited him greatly. What could you receive today? Father, I pray that you would help us to be givers. God, help us to give. Help us to water the seeds that you've planted. God, I pray that we'd be takers, takers of truth, receivers of truth, not thinking that we know everything and we have everything. God, would you help us to be humble and to learn? Lord, may we follow you. May we follow you in the way you have prepared us, and you've demonstrated, you've shown us by example the way you have demonstrated to us. Lord, help us this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.